Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Well, good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How are you guys all doing? Man, the worship was way better than you're responding right now. I mean, we're all alive. God is good. He is the God of the impossible. And so we're going to dive into this here real quickly. I think John might have already done this for you, but if you have not said hello to the person next to you, can you just make him feel welcome? But not too much love. Not too much online. They just started giving money away. That's what happened right now. There was a whole bunch of love going on. Okay, now look to the other person. How about you just, if you came with somebody, just tell them how much you appreciate them. How about that? Everybody by themselves. Sorry. Talk to the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Well, good evening. My name's Tom. I'm easily distracted. But I'm excited that you guys are all here because if you are new, hello. I'm one of the pastors around here, and I have been, I've been here for nearly 11, 12 years or something like that. So basically right next to Pastor Ron. And so it was, dang. All right, we're going to have fun tonight. Pastor John's smiling. We'll do it. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Acts, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 10. Pastor Justin, the last time that we were together in this, closed up chapter 9. And tonight we are going to be starting chapter 10. And as you can see, the sermon title is already right next to me. Maybe you saw it a little bit earlier. I want to help you with the pronunciation of this word. The word is ruach. Everybody together as a class, say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Ruach. You just spoke Hebrew. Good job. You can now go to heaven. It's a word that is very interesting, and maybe you've read it in Scripture, or maybe you have not read it in Scripture, but it is something that is very, very important, and tonight we're going to be getting into why it is so important, and I have a certain order of the way that I want to do things, but then I get out here, and I just want to talk to you, and I just want to share with you, and we're going to do that, and thankfully, Pastor Justin prayed. The worship team did what they were supposed to do. They ushered in the presence and the Spirit of God. And I want to let you know that we've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. I believe that God gave me a rhema to speak over maybe everybody in this place, or maybe it's just one person in this place. But he specifically for tonight, God wants to get involved in your life. I don't know who that's for. It might be for everybody. It's not a bad thing just to hear it. But God wants to get involved in your life. And as I was praying for you guys tonight, I want to pray, or I was praying for those of you that have those overwhelming anxiety thoughts, those thoughts in your mind that bring you to a place that doesn't make a lot of sense. Logically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe you're somebody who is that you look at statistics and the options of you getting in a car wreck opposed to you eating bad sushi is this, and so, but you still can't help but freak out about being around sushi, and you're like, what is this? You know, you're spending time with your spouse, and all you can do is think these bitter negative thoughts about them, and you're like, where does this even come from? Or maybe you're worried about the safety of your kids, but it doesn't make any sense because you don't have any kids, and you're just, where is it that these negative thoughts come from? And I've been praying for you because I live there from time to time too. And the thing that is just very unfortunate about being up on this 3-foot platform is one of two things happens. You either go through what you talk about after you talk about it, or you go through it before and then you talk about it. And I'm telling you, I think it was this morning. Every day starts to blend together, but it was this morning. It was this morning, and I just been going through some stuff. And finally, like after spending some time with the Lord, this is actually the word that was brought to my attention. I was like, oh, okay. And then God did his thing, and this word is actually in our text tonight. And it was just absolutely amazing. So overall, we're going to get into Acts chapter 10, and chapter 10 is a lot of verses. So I did y'all a favor. I broke it down into four. You're welcome. And we're just going to look at a couple of things. I want to give you the backstory here real quick. The book of Acts is about the physical doings of the church after Jesus ascended into heaven. Holy Spirit at this time has already fallen on the believers, 3,000 souls, and then it just began to multiply and began to multiply. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand anything. At the very beginning of the start of the church, and you've heard Jesus say this in the New Testament gospel writings, that he came for the children of Israel. He came for God's people. And that's what's been happening, is God's people have just been hearing about the gospel and getting saved, and hearing about the gospel and giving their lives over to this Jesus Christ, to this Messiah man. And then we have in scripture here, we take a hard left, and chapter 10 starts talking about this Roman named Cornelius. And it starts giving a description about who this guy is and what he's done. Here's what we know about Cornelius. If you could put up Acts chapter 10, verse 2. We know that he was a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. If we can keep that up in the back room just real quick. That's capital G. Emphasis on the capital G, because that's not lowercase g meaning many. It means there's only one like him. So that's our God. So how is this non-Jewish Roman guy able to have a fear of God? And then also there's clearly some back and forth between God and this guy named Cornelius. And then we also see in chapter 10, verse 3, that then Cornelius is given this vision. And it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he, this is Cornelius, it's lowercase h, just to help you out here, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. So then they start talking. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase what happens up until the next part. Then this angel tells Cornelius, hey, you need to send some soldiers to a city called Joppa, J-O-P-P-A. Send some soldiers to Joppa. There you will find a man named Simon. They need to get this guy Simon. They need to bring him back to you. So that's what happens in the story of Cornelius. And then we're going to jump to this guy Simon, who is also named Peter. This is the apostle. This is the guy that Jesus had to ask three times, do you love me? And so we have here in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it says that on the next day, as they were on their way, who class? The people who Cornelius just sent. As they were approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So then here's what happens in the time that Peter begins to pray. As he's praying and in the presence of God, he sees in a trance, not a vision, but a trance, the Bible says, words are very important, that there is this sheet coming out from the clouds. And on this sheet is a whole bunch of animals. It specifically says that there were clean and unclean animals that were on this. So then God tells Peter, and if you can put up chapter 10, verse 13, says a voice came to him. A voice came to him. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. So then in conversation with this voice, Peter goes, every kind of animal is here. I don't ever eat any unclean animal. And then the voice comes back and says, what the Lord has made clean, you should not say is unclean. What the voice of the Lord says is what God is telling Peter, what I've already made these things clean. don't you come back to me and tell me that this clean now thing is unclean because it doesn't fit your religious tradition. Because that's where Peter was coming from, is in the Old Testament law, what was happening and set into effect what God had told his people back in Deuteronomy and reiterated in Leviticus, what he said was, you are not to eat of these kinds of animals. And it lays out a big old list of animals. Do you want to feel uncomfortable? Because I do. Here are the unclean animals, and some of them make sense. Bats. Corona. Crows. Shouldn't eat crows. Shouldn't eat seagulls or hawks or parrots or woodpeckers. That's easy. This is just a little bit of the list. We would be here all night if I just gave you some of the list. You shouldn't eat any canines, okay? Wolves, stuff like that. No felines. No donkeys, armadillos, raccoons, rabbits. Huh, said everybody from Arkansas. Squirrels, boars, pigs. Oh, bacon wrapped. Catfish, eel, shark, squid, clams, crawfish. I know, the world is a dark place. Dolphins, whales. Now, if you're anybody like Peter and you're like, oh, not this thing, Lord, not that thing. It says in scripture that he needed to have this conversation, this back and forth with God 3 times. So if you're kind of in that camp, you're like, but I really love pig. Well, God had to try to convince Peter, hey, this diet that you're on, listen, everything, I'm telling you, everything is now clean for you to eat. So it says that this happened 3 times. And while Peter was still, it says then that the sheep then went back into heaven. And it says that Peter was still perplexed at what he just saw. And then boom, the people that Cornelius sent were now asking for Peter. So that's what happens in this story so far. Then if you want to kind of fast forward a little bit, then Peter goes to Cornelius' house, spends some time with his family and his friends, and the Holy Spirit falls on that whole house. And the truth of the story is Cornelius being a non-Jew, the non-holy, the non-clean, God was sending Peter to him. And so that whole vision was like, I'm preparing you to go to someone's house who is not clean. And normally, in your religious mindset, you would say, I can't go here. They're not Jewish. But what I'm telling you is clean. Don't you tell me is unclean. And that's the beauty of this particular chapter. And so I want to talk about this idea today, this Ruach idea, because if you are, there's different versions of the Bible. I don't know why we need them all. But this one's actually beneficial. There's one that is called the Tree of Life version. And a whole bunch of Jewish people got together, some scholars got together and wrote this book, this version of the Bible out. And so certain words are exchanged for Hebrew words. And so I knew that I had this chapter and I'm sitting here and I'm reading it. And I decided to read it in the Tree of Life version. And when Peter was talked to in verse 13, and it says, a voice said to Peter, the word there is Ruach. Now, the word Ruach means wind, breath, or spirit. The root idea here is a invisible force. There was this wind, this breath, this invisible force of God that spoke to Peter. And if you remember what it said to him, it said, don't you say what God made clean is unclean. Now, what's also interesting is I really found this word before in the word Holy Spirit translated in Hebrew, which is Ruach HaKodesh. But then there's a Spirit of God, which is Ruach Elohim. There's Spirit of the Lord, which is Ruach Adonai. There is Spirit of the Lord God, which is Ruach Adonai Adonai. And then there's the Spirit of God, which is Ruach El. That's a lot of different ways for God to communicate to us. And then if you also caught it in this, you know, paraphrase of this chapter, we also have an angel speaking to Cornelius in a vision. So now you got angels and visions. And then Peter was in a trance when he got hungry and then the sheet came down. And what's interesting is you don't hear about all these things so often about how God can communicate. We kind of have it in one of two or three ways. We have it that, like, you know, an audible voice. We believe that we're going to hear some low end voice just say, "You're not supposed to do this." We think that when we read scripture that we're going to get something out of scripture that's just going to correct us, or we're going to have somebody who's higher in religious authority over our life look right over at you and say, "You're going to be pregnant." We just think that that's how it's supposed to happen. That's happened here at this church where people get pregnant just because Pastor Ron would point in that direction. You know, it's just what happens. It happened to my brother-in-law. It's amazing. But it's something where we never really understand what it is to listen to the ruach, the power, the breath, because it's the same ruach that changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abraham, when God breathed into him. The same with his wife Sarai, and then Sarah with the H at the end. That sounds really weird to say it in a microphone over a group of people, and then probably online it's way more creepy. But it is, it's the breath of God going, the ruach of God going and doing what it is been set out to do. But then my question to you is, have you heard this week? Have you heard today this breath, this small voice that Ezekiel gets? Have you heard this voice of God that the disciples heard when Jesus was baptized and this voice comes out of heaven? Have you heard the voice, the spirit, the invisible force of God? Because we're growing up in a time, I don't jab anybody in my family. I got great parents and they taught me so much. Some of the best qualities about me I got from my parents. But I had to learn how to change a car tire from YouTube. That's real talk. And the most embarrassing thing was I was dating a girl and she was like, "My car's got a flat tire." And I was like, "Okay, let me help you, but let me do this real quick and then watch this. Oh, I know how to do this." So we live in a day and age where, you know, it's like, "Oh, I don't know the answer to this, or I don't know how to do this, so Google it. YouTube it." And that's not bad that we have these resources. It saves us a lot of time and energy. But I watch my kids who don't know about these resources, and when they figure something out on their own, my son, like the little clasp on a helmet, like a little bike helmet, he's sitting there and he's throwing them together and doing them all wrong, but then finally he gets it right. And he looks at me and his eyes are all big and I'm like, "Son, you did it." When my daughter learns like to play the piano and she's playing the guitar and she's making these sounds and her eyes get all big, or they take the drumsticks and they start hitting them all and they're learning how to do these things. And God has still placed that within you and I, and it's his ruach that will walk us through. And so often what we want is we want the prayer people up at front, we want the pastors on the stage, we want the worship leaders on the stage to be the ones that are the voice of God, when in actuality, going back to the very beginning, God wants to get involved in your life. He doesn't want to always, emphasis, go through people. He wants to get involved in your life. He wants you to know how to hear his voice. Because what happens when your cell phone's dead and you don't got YouTube? I just looked it up just for fun because I want to see what people were doing. There are videos teaching you how to speak in tongues. That's fun to watch. There are videos to teach you how to hear the voice of the Lord. But that is so opposite of what God has always intended for us. Tom, how do you know this? Because I read Genesis, and it says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. It was always meant to be you and I walking right by our Creator and learning from him and growing in him. And you know what's funny is I read the Bible, which is filled with these stories of godly men and women and their relationship with God. and not one of them looks the same. Not one relationship with God looks the same. And that is a stumbling block for some people. But it's also the reality of who our God is. He wants it to be individual. Yeah, but everybody's got blonde hair, or everybody's got hazel eyes. I'm nowhere, no one different. No, you actually are. The purpose for your life is night and day different from anybody that has ever existed, ever. And God is trying to teach us how to tap into those gifts, tap into those strengths, and grow what he started through Jesus Christ on the earth. Every single one of us, there is a purpose and a reason for our existence. It's not to clock in and clock out of your job. It's not for you to make money, die, give it to your kids. That's not the point of life at all. And I think sometimes that's what we've just kind of chalked it up to be. I want to help you out here a little bit. I want to give you, I had to talk to the tech team in the back. I'm going to give you what they told me I'm supposed to call is a mini point. But if you're a note taker, if you're somebody writing this down, thank you. God works in rhythm. So if you're ever in a season, did you know that that Christian term season comes from our actual four seasons? Did you know that? Like when we say, oh, brother, sister, it's just a season. Do you know what they mean is you're going to have to go through this month that you don't like and that month that you don't like and then that month, but then eventually your favorite month's going to show up and everything's going to be good again. Because if you don't like summer, which why would you if you live in Bakersfield? But if you don't like summer, don't worry. We've got autumn coming. We got then, or fall, whatever. And then winter and then spring and then it starts all over again and you're literally back to hell on earth. And it is a temporary time though. You know, what's interesting is you read in Genesis and it says about this 7-day week, right? You know, first day God did this, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and then God rested. We know this. Did you know that there have been different people throughout history that have tried to turn like that 7-day work week into a 5-day work week? And some of you are like, oh yeah, praise the Lord. And then others have tried to do it into a 10-day work week. Each time they fail? Do you know that all societies come back to a 7-day work week? A 7-day time period, calendar set back to 7. And I say that because, well, if we had just told the Soviets and the French, they didn't have to switch the week around because God's actually working in rhythm. And that is kind of how we're supposed to do things that God has set up. The sun rising and setting, rising and setting, rising and setting. There's a rhythm to that. Our heartbeats beat to a rhythm. God's creation is in rhythm. And so if you find yourself being really angry, oh man, I took a nap. And apparently I was cranky before I took a nap. And I woke up and I just thought I was being myself. And my wife was like, well, someone woke up a little happier than they went to bed. And I was like, all right, that's cool. But there's just something, we need sleep. We need to eat. There's rhythm to this. And so if you find yourself in a season right now of being cranky, in a season right now of being overwhelmed with anxiety or just literally anti-logical thoughts, it's just a season. But what are you doing in that season? And that's what I want to talk about here. We see a couple of things, but I just want to break it down and keep it real easy. I want a side note here real quick. Are y'all resting? And I don't mean watching TV. And I'm not talking about scrolling. And I'm not talking about doing chores. And I am not talking about coming to church. I'm asking you, are you resting? Because if you remember in the 7-day work week that God set up, one of those days that God himself did on one of those days was he rested. You know, the Sabbath is meant to be a time where you and I, we worship God and we rest. Worship God and rest. It's good for your souls. Statistically, Seventh-day Adventists, those who take the Sabbath day serious, they live on average 10 years longer. Don't leave this church and go there, but I'm just telling you. You can practice the Sabbath here. Man, I just thought about that. whatever. You'll go where the Lord tells you, the Ruach. Okay. But I want to help you to learn how to hear the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, to lean into on how it is that we can lean into this invisible force. And we are doing great on time. Top notch, Tom. What is your prayer life like? Point number one, or official point number one. What's your prayer life like? Like, how do you pray? I'm not asking you, though, what you pray. In Scripture, which is the most important starting point, we see Jesus tell us, if you can put up Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you can leave that up there, please. However, I don't want to misunderstand anything. We are supposed to get hands laid on us. We are supposed to pray with our brothers and sisters. We are supposed to pray as a church. We are supposed to go to prayer nights and start prayer groups and, you know, walk around whatever building like the walls of Jericho and pray that these things. We are supposed to do those things, yes. I'm talking about how do you hear God? I'm talking about what we do when it's just us. When you got to be the man of the house, but you're going through an internal mental war and your wife asks you, how are you doing? And your kids are asking you to go play with them. And you're going, okay, I just got to survive. What do I do in those moments? And I want to encourage you, a secret place can be anywhere. It could be your car. Could be your closet. Could be your basement. Could be your attic. Could be the shower. Any place where it's just you and the Lord. But also, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, you don't have to say a lot. Do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Sometimes, Jesus, help. Help. Because now, if you've ever been in those situations where your mind is running a certain mile an hour, and you go, oh, I'm not supposed to be thinking like that. Jesus, help. Because I think maybe sometimes we have this idea that we got to have a prayer memorized or that we have to find ourselves on our knees and if you really want to prove that God is who he is, you lay on your face or I don't have access to the sanctuary and I know that that's where God is. Holy Spirit is living inside of us. That's the temple, you and I, the temple of God. Second point or third point back there, tech team. Worship, what's your worship like? I'm the first ones here. Okay, that's great. But really, what is your worship like? I wanna hit you with Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. The psalmist is writing, yet you are holy. Oh, you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. If you can leave that up there, please. Another translation is, God inhabits the praises of his people. And I say that to you because we don't always feel like worshiping, singing, praising God, or just literally telling him, you are good, you have kept me alive, you've kept me in good health, you have kept my kids in good health, you've given me this job, you've given me a vehicle, you've given me the mobility, you've given me this. And you really start breaking it down of all the things that are working for you. You know, if you just got, I don't know, half your limbs, you still got those half of those limbs. You know, like there are these things that we can find reasons to praise God for that doesn't always have to be like, well, I didn't have my iPod or I didn't have, you know, I wasn't able to listen online or I wasn't this, I wasn't that. But if you inhabit, if you give God praise, like it's almost like his presence falls in that moment and he's there. But I want to look at the verse prior to that in verse 2. Look at this one. And we can all relate. Oh, I cry by day and you do not answer. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Doesn't it feel like that? That we're just, am I just wasting my time talking to air, God? There's a lot of other things that I could be doing. But then if you can put verse 3 back up. So after that, it feels like I'm crying and you do not answer, but you are holy. That's praise right there. Have you ever needed to pep talk yourself? There's a verse in scripture that says, do not lean on your own understanding. I don't want to jab anybody in here with like a doctorate, but we're not smart when it comes to God. He is so outside of time and space. He is so outside of what you and I see coming down a year from now, a month from now. What happens when you get home? Oh gosh, that's the worst. When you act on something that you were all bitter about, and maybe you planned on being mad at your spouse when you got home, and you get there and then she showers you with love. And you're just like not ready for it. You're like, give me a minute. Because we just don't see what God's doing behind the scenes. Because I've been there the last 2 weeks. Just all I was doing was basically just standing up. There was no progress and there was no regress. I just felt like I was just standing spiritually. Still doing cover fire for my family, praying for angels to be with them, praying for all this stuff, but then you get hit with news, and you get hit with this, and you get hit with that, and you're just like, okay, I'm not gonna go make a bad move and ruin everything I've been really trying to do, God, but I'm telling you this much, I am not giving money to that homeless person. I am just not in that state of mind right now, God. I need to just be. And that is a spot where you need to have that prayer life, that worship experience with God, where you're just going, Lord, do you even hear me? And even if you don't, God, I can remind myself of what you've done in the past. I can remind myself of what you've promised to me. I can remind myself that I am your son. I can remind myself of these things and that you care for me and my family a heck of a lot more than I ever could, which really seems impossible. And this is how we find ourselves leaning into not our own understanding, but we're opening our hearts up and our minds up and our spirit up to say, God, are you there? Because the devil does a really good job of just stacking everything in front of our relationship with God. But the third thing, I got to tell you about, we're going to keep going. The third thing, what's your giving like? What's your giving like? Oh, I knew it. They're just coming after my money. That's not what we're talking about. I'm asking about your home life. I'm asking about, we do this thing every now and again called serving in September, mobilizing in March, action in April. Kind of just depends on the month that we land on. We rhyme it with something. And where we go out and we give. But are you in the boat where you're like, oh yeah, I've been waiting to give, but you guys haven't had one of those yet? Or maybe you've limited yourself to, yeah, I give every, time I'm here, I put money in the offering. That's not what we're talking about here. If you could put up Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we got some promises here given to us by Jesus himself. Give and it will be given to you. Pour out into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We have promises in the Bible like this. And I don't necessarily want to ask this question, but I do feel like God told me to ask it. With a verse like that, you give and it will be given back. So what is it that you need? I don't know what my love language is. I thought I did. But I noticed that when I want to encourage somebody or love somebody or wish them a happy birthday or whatever it is, when I want someone to feel special, I'll write them something. So I'm sitting there and I'll find myself writing a letter or making this big old text message or whatever. There's some people that are just like, hey man, I love you, thanks again. And I sit there and I'm like, wow, you don't care about them at all, do you? There's something about, I guess I'm words, but then I guess maybe everybody's got the getting gifts thing, because it's not a bad thing when someone gets me a gift. I love that. But then I noticed, my birthday was a week ago, and I noticed that people were writing me big old love things. Thank you so much for this and that. And this. I remember being like, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. And it did something to my soul. And then I started thinking, I felt like God opened my eyes. He goes, well, the verse, what you give, you'll get. Because man, you sit there, you'd start texting somebody something. You know how inconvenient it is to write a letter or shoot out a big old text like that? Or if you don't got their digits, you send it to them through Instagram or Facebook or something. And you're just sitting there going like, oh my gosh, my fingers are killing me. But when I'm sitting there, I'm going, but I want them to know. Or maybe your thing is quality time. Or maybe you need love. Are you giving out love? Maybe it is something as little as finances. Are you giving your finances? Maybe you don't find yourself having enough time to spend time with the Lord. Well, what are you doing with your time? What you give, you'll get in return. And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, God will be right there in where you're giving. He'll be right there with you to support you. How many times have you heard the story of the person who said, I gave the last, whatever it is, something in their bank account, something in their cupboard, or they didn't have time to stop by on the side of the road and help them out, and you know, because this and that thing was happening. So they just, how many times have you heard those testimonies, and then what happens at the end of it? They got something back. And it's never, you'll never really remember what it was that they got back, but you will remember that it was God showing off that I'm right there with you. I'm involved in your life. I saw what you did. And we all need that. Every single one of us, we need that. We need to have God like right there with us. We cannot do this on our own. So what is it? Where are you at? What's your prayer life like? What's your worship life like? What is it that you give your time to? There's a couple of things that God really specifically wanted me to say. But the benefits of this ruach, the benefits of this invisible force, this spirit of God, this voice of God, I promise you, it removes any ounce of competition with another believer. Because for those of you that are happily married, you never hear of anybody happily married having an affair. You don't need to. They're not looking anywhere else. And the same thing with God. I think sometimes, you know, we're struggling so bad to keep the things that are clean, clean, that when God speaks to you through this ruach spirit, you go, no, that doesn't fit the mold, God. That doesn't fit the mold. You can't be wanting me to quit my job. You can't, no way we're going to have another kid, God. You can't possibly, everything's good right now. Give this vehicle to who? Give this amount to where? This can't be you, God. And he goes, are you going to listen to me? Or are you not? Because from there, you hear Pastor Ron talk about it all the time. You hear the other pastors up here talk about it all the time. When God moves in your life, really moves in your life, because you have placed yourself in your secret place and you're praying, you have turned the music off in your car and you've just been talking to God about your issues and your problems and you're giving those things to him. When it comes time for seeing somebody in need, you don't even think twice because you're like, God, you have to come through and I'm gonna give this person $100 and it wouldn't be bad if you gave me 2. Baby girl, I love that. Come on, God, do something, right? Like that's where we're at. And if we lived like that and we saw God show off in the desires of our heart, where we see God come through, we wouldn't have to argue doctrine. We wouldn't have to attack these non-believers. We would see the powers of our prayer, and we would go, oh, really? Fired, huh? I'll be right back. God, I need you to do something right now. I need you to change their mindset. I need you to see, have them give me favor in their eyes. And you go walk back right back and like, oh, okay, well, God told me you can't fire me. Imagine. Like, I would really like to hear that testimony. Because if we really think about this, my daughter fell when she was just a little thing. And my wife is calling me. It's just frantic. And I was like, forget that. She could have fallen the worst case scenario. God. And I, on the drive there, I was like, God, that's your daughter, not mine. And you have a plan for her. So I don't care. I'm not going to receive anything that the doctors are going to tell me. There's nothing wrong with her. And being able to have that relationship with God, and it wasn't wishful. It was not wishful thinking. It was, you are the God of the universe. Well, Tom, how do you know that he's the God of the universe? Well, because prior to this terrible event in my life, I had been praying to God. I had been reading the word. I had been worshiping God, and I have been giving. And I have just been literally in that lifestyle for as long as I can remember, so that when it came time for something like this, I said, God, not happening. And I'm not going to let this have authority over me. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand something. I'm telling you, for the last 2 weeks, I've been in here, and it's been miserable. It's been hard, but it's only a season. It's only a season. And if you have these particular things in place, if you know how to pray, if you have a prayer spot, if you know how to worship, if you know how to thank God for the things that actually matter, and if you know how to give in the right way, this Ruach, this Spirit of God, will be so evident in your life. But I do also want to say, it's for your sake, for the sake of your family, the sake of your coworkers, and the sake of your friends, to start talking to God daily. So how do you do it? Practically, I'll just share with you three things that I did. In my car, turn the radio off, turn the podcast off, turn whatever it is off, and you just let God have it. God, what the heck? What's going on? When you're walking around the house, I think my wife's watching. When you're walking around the house and you don't agree, but you also are a smart man and you know it's not worth fighting over. Yeah, but I need to tell her. She needs to know. No. No, she don't. You don't need to say that, because I've been there where I've said it and I go, oh no, I should not have said that. That's going to cost me a couple hours. Okay. But you just sit there and you go, God, show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me if I'm wrong. I know I'm not, but show me where I'm wrong. And that's how you do it. And you don't, I got a minute. You just walk around the house and you're just like on the opposite side of the house that she's at. So you don't got to look at her and be reminded how mad you are. You know what I mean? Like, it's just real, because what happens is the devil wants to separate you. He wants to. And I've been there, dude, doing the dishes, and I'm just steaming. And then I ask myself, what are you mad at? And I go, I got no idea. I just know that I'm mad. And that's all that it takes. That's all that it takes. But for you to recognize, God, I see the plan that the enemy's trying to do right now, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. This anxiety that I feel, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. This depression that I feel, I rebuke it. And in truth be told, you're going to say that prayer probably 100 times. 100 times. You've heard those testimonies like, oh, I was a hardcore drug user and I just prayed one time and I've been clean ever since. That's an amazing testimony. But for other people, you're going to be praying that prayer time after time after time after time, because the same thing happened to Jesus. He was tempted and said the devil came back or was looking for an opportune time to get him again. And it will. It just comes, it comes, and it comes. And lastly, oh man, if there's ever anything in your life that is pressing, and you're like, I need to make this decision right now. I need to make this decision right now. Calm down. God is the God of the universe. He made the sun stand still, and he can do something and make seconds last longer, I would imagine. I don't know what he can do. I never had to ask that, but there are things that you and I can do that we don't have to feel so rushed all the time. And when we begin to pray and to worship and to give, the voice of this Ruach voice, we'll have stories like Peter and Cornelius. And that's what God wants for us. He cares about us. He loves us. And all he wants is he's a good dad to his kids. He says, I just want to spend time with you. I want to show you your worth. I want to show you what you were designed for. I want to fulfill the dreams that I've placed within you that you're trying to go after, but you might have forgotten about because you thought you had to be too mature or too old. That's the goodness of our God. So I want to pray. I want to pray for you. So if you'll bow your heads, we'll pray this before we leave because I'm a little bit over time. I'm going to pray this. Father, I just thank you so much that there is grace. There is mercy from you. People here in this physical space and people online listening, God, there is grace for us. You take no pride in holding on to every mistake we've ever made. Heaven is not a limited space. You desire for every single one of us to know you, to walk with you, to speak with you. And I pray for those in this place and online that maybe they believed the lie for too long. I ask God that you would overwhelm them with your grace. Let them know that the God of the universe loves them and cares for them, sees their hurt, sees what they're going through, and wants to help. Father, I pray for the strength of those that need help to come and get prayer. I pray for those that need your strength, the only strength that comes from you, God, that you would give them power in their legs to walk up and get prayer. For those that are at home, God, help them to find their secret place to reconcile what they felt was too far gone. God, we thank you in advance for the lives that will be changed, for the co-workers' lives, for the kids' lives, for the family members' lives. Lord, there are so many people that will be impacted simply because we are taking the steps to listen to your voice. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a great rest of your night, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.